What's going on, guys? Daily here, and today we are back with another video on Professor Daily, and today we're going to be going over a World War II iceberg. If you don't know what an iceberg is, essentially it's where you list things from the most well-known to the public eye to the least well-known. Sort of like an iceberg itself. The very top above the water is actually the smallest part of the iceberg, and then the lower you go, the more complicated an iceberg actually gets, and the more is visible. So we're doing a World War II iceberg with multiple different tiers in it. There's about 6 or 7 tiers, and each video is going to be an individual tier because there's a lot of information, and this would be like a 5-hour video if we did it all in one go. I figure I'll make a super cut at the end of the tier list, but for now we're just gonna go one tier at a time, starting with the most famous things from World War II to the least famous. I didn't make this World War II iceberg myself. I actually found it online when I was googling the icebergs, and I thought that this was actually a pretty good one, and I liked the way they did it. So essentially they made it so the most famous battles are going to be the first tier, lesser known battles in the second tier, and then after that it gets into more interesting things like conspiracy theories, mega weapons, stuff like that that the public really just doesn't know about unless you've studied history, and then the very bottom is going to be like really far out there conspiracies that historians don't really take much credit in, but they're very interesting. So this tier list iceberg was made by u/sonofairmen on Reddit. It was on the Wendigoon subreddit that I found it. Wendigoon is another YouTuber who primarily does a lot of tier lists as well as like scary stories and stuff like that. He makes awesome videos. Highly recommend checking it out. But it seems like this tier list was pretty good, so I thought I'd use that. And then also splice in some of my own things, problems I see with the tier list, things that I think are missing, stuff like that. So let's get right on into it here. Be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you haven't, and comment down below. So the first battle that we have here is actually going to be the attack on Pearl Harbor, the thing that got the United States dragged into the war by Japan. Japan for months was actually scoping out the military base on Pearl Harbor. They were able to climb up volcanoes, climb up the mountains of Hawaii, and then go ahead and look through binoculars, telescope, whatever, down at the military base. It was completely open, and the Japanese had soldiers, well, they were more like spies, living on the island, observing the US bases, and charting maps, and explaining exactly the most critical points of infrastructure that the US had, and where they wanted to bomb. Also, checking out the details of their day-to-day life, when certain ships would be in harbor and stuff like that. Even though that still did happen, the US actually had a lot of their fleet out of the harbor at the time of the bombing, including, most crucially, their aircraft carriers, the prized possession of the US fleet. Of course, this is known as a slimy battle because the Japanese didn't give warning to the United States and dragged them into the war, unbeknownst to them. However, it is often said that the Japanese did actually try and warn the US through a few different methods a couple days before, but all of those methods failed to get to the United States in time. And what's more than that, the US actually had some encoded documents from the Japanese detailing out the planned bombing of Pearl Harbor that they had managed to steal from the Japanese during the war, and they didn't crack it in time. They could have known about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor beforehand, simply by cracking these encoded messages, but they didn't end up cracking it in time. Either way, I completely agree with this being on this tier of the iceberg. It's such a well-known battle, especially to Americans. Next up, we have the Battle of Stalingrad. Now, the Battle of Stalingrad is often called the turning point of World War II in the Eastern Front. At this point, the German army had pushed extremely far into Russian-held territory and ended up at Stalingrad. And Stalingrad was where Stalin decided to make a final stand, because it was a city named after him, and it would be pretty bad for the morale of troops as well as a national scope to be losing the city named after yourself. So he loaded up soldiers in Stalingrad, and it was brutal, brutal street fighting there for months. The Germans actually held the city a number of times, the Russians took back the city a number of times, it was just back and forth, until eventually the Russians did manage to surround the city, cutting off the German army from within and forcing their surrender. This was, of course, the turning point on the Eastern Front and arguably the turning point in the entirety of the war, if you think that this was more critical than D-Day. It's up to interpretation. The next battle that we have here isn't really a battle, but more of a full-on event during the war, and that's going to be the Chinese Civil War. I think that this actually is a good position for this to be on, because the Chinese Civil War, while a lot of Americans don't particularly know about it, it did have massive consequences on a global scale, and of course, the people of China, the billions of people that live there, know very well about the Chinese Civil War, and all Asian countries sort of do, and I think more so Europeans and Americans don't focus on this part of World War II history as much. But either way, the Chinese Civil War did span far longer than just World War II, but it is a pivotal part of World War II, with the CCP managing to take control during this power struggle of World War II and win the Chinese Civil War just following World War II. And of course, it also led to the Chinese being very split during a very, very hard time in their history with the Japanese invasion and things like that. It's a very crucial event in world history that fell just right smack dab in World War II, and it's very, very famous outside of the US and Europe, I feel like. In addition to that, it is the third largest war in history, behind World War I and World War II. Next up, we do have the Battle of Berlin, sort of the final stand of the German Third Reich. Now, the Battle of Berlin was a really, really desperate time for the German Wehrmacht. They were basically running out of actual units, so they ended up recruiting from people who were disabled, Hitler Youth. They also ended up recruiting old people, as well as the Hitler Youth, of course, being the younger side of people. So they had kids and old men and injured people fighting in this last stand of Berlin against a Russian army. Of course, we did have some famous battles within the Battle of Berlin, such as the defense of the Reichstag, and some extremely famous photographs coming from it, like the Russian soldiers waving the flag. Just an incredibly famous battle in history, culminating in the defeat of the Wehrmacht. Next up on the tier list, we have the island hopping campaign, which is what they labeled it. I would call it more just the war in the Pacific, because that's what it was, which was essentially US Marines having to go island to island to eradicate the Japanese that had previously taken over each individual island during the war. It was long, grueling fighting with an enemy who just did not have any quit in them. Really, really brutal battles. The US ended up having to do some things like flaming them out with flamethrowers or just bombarding the crap out of these islands before sending soldiers in. It was brutality on both sides. Of course, I would tie in the two bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki into this tier because, of course, that's how the island hopping campaign came to an end, was with those bombs, and then a couple days later, the Japanese surrender. Had the island hopping campaign not been so brutal and hard, maybe the bombs never would have been dropped, but at the same time, the US really did just kind of want to experiment with their deadly new toys. Next battle we do have is going to be the Battle of Britain, or the Blitz, which was a primarily airborne fight over England against the Luftwaffe and the British RAF. This also involved a great deal of bombings of the British territory, which, according to many historians, could have resulted in the British capitulation to the Germans. They came extremely close to finally giving in and stopping their war against the German Luftwaffe as they were losing. However, for some reason, Hitler decided to just pull back. He decided to stop the Battle of Britain and focus elsewhere. This could have been one of, because there are many different opportunities, but one of the major opportunities for Hitler to win the war overall. There was a lot of instances of Hitler being able to win the war, this being one of them, and he usually got in his own way. Next up, we have Operation Barbarossa, which is the German invasion of the Soviet Union. After, of course, both the Soviets and the Germans ended up taking Poland, Germany ended up going against the Soviets and invaded them as well. They needed that living space. It actually remains the largest land invasion of all time, with over 10 million different combatants. It was, of course, an extremely indulgent invasion by the Wehrmacht. It went surprisingly well, but of course, what happens with pretty much every single invasion of Russia, winter hits, they end up miserable, morale is horrible, horrible. They're dying from external factors that have nothing to do from the war, such as hypothermia or malnutrition. And of course, Russia is a massive country. So the further that the Wehrmacht ends up pushing in, the larger the front line becomes, and eventually the size of the Russian people ended up being greater than the size of the German people, and so therefore the Russians were able to cover a lot more territory than the Germans, and the Germans ended up having holes in their defenses, which inevitably led to their defeat. I honestly think that this is a good one to include in the top tier because it is a well-known battle slash operation. However, I don't think a lot of people actually know the name Operation Barbarossa. I think it's more so that people know that Germany invaded Russia during World War II. Next up, of course, we have the North African Campaign. We're basically hitting every theater of war here, but the North African Campaign was comprised mainly of the German Africa Corps as well as their Italian counterparts who invaded North Africa, a lot of the colonies held by the British and French there, and it resulted in some grueling fighting between two really, really famous leaders, General Montgomery and Erwin Rommel, or the Desert Fox as he became known. The Americans did later join in on the North African Campaign, and eventually the North African Campaign pushed into Sicily as well as Italy, but it was very famous fighting during World War II and involved some of the largest land grabs because a lot of it was just kind of desert, so you got to see big chunks of Germany just expanding. Okay, the next one we have here is the Italian Civil War, which I don't fully agree with being in the top tier. I would actually put it in the second tier in the lesser known battles area, but the Italian Civil War they decided to put in here, so I decided to respect that. It was Italian fascists versus Italian partisans in the middle of World War II. Italy, of course, being kind of a disaster during both World Wars and World War I. They were one of the poorest nations in the war and had some of the lowest morale. And in World War II, this fascist government just beat down their people, and then there was all this incoming German influence and things like that. It just resulted in both wars having the Italians getting a really raw deal on the wrong end of enemy forces. Of course, the Italian Civil War is pretty long, and there's some notable events, such as the capture of Mussolini and the imprisonment of him in a mountain fortress prison, and then the subsequent Fallschirmjäger paratrooper drop, in which they recaptured him and they filmed the whole thing, and it became this massive piece of German propaganda. So as this civil war is raging, Germany is realizing that Italy is becoming a massive problem for them in the overall war. If Italy ends up capitulating, the Germans are going to have a lot harder of a time holding off the Allied powers in other theaters. And so the Germans actually send a whole lot of infantry, tanks, etc. into Italy to try and regain control. And in doing so, they did commit many war crimes against the Italian people. It's one of the most brutal sectors of World War II in terms of war crimes, with civilians being slaughtered left and right in brutal ways by the Germans and the Italian fascists. But overall, the Italian Civil War did make a bad situation in the south even worse for the Axis powers, resulting in the Allied powers having a little bit easier of a time retaking Europe. Yeah, I really don't think that this needs to be at this tier on the tier list. I would say it's lesser known for sure, but it's here, so it is what it is. So the final event that we have in the top tier of this iceberg is going to be the Warsaw Uprising, which was the people of Warsaw and Poland basically creating a resistance group, a very large resistance group, and fighting against the German occupants. And this was actually the largest resistance operation, unless you include the Vietnam War, in history. But of course, during the Vietnam War, it's a little bit more complicated because it's more like North versus South, even though a lot of the fighting was, pretty much all the fighting was in the South. So in this instance, it's purely resistance soldiers fighting from within, and became the largest battle in all of resistance history. This uprising in Warsaw was meant to coincide with the Russian push through Poland. So the Germans would be caught in basically a two-front war within Poland, having fighting from within as well as the Red Army coming in from the side. But Russia at the last minute decided to stop and regroup. Meanwhile, the Warsaw Uprising continued. So the Germans were able to focus on the Warsaw Uprising more so than the Polish had planned. On top of this, the uprising ended up becoming a grueling fight, and they ran out of supplies very, very quickly. The British actually managed to sneak in supplies because this was Russian air territory at this point, and the Russians, for whatever reason, were refusing to supply this Warsaw Uprising. Maybe they feared that Poland was going to end up, trying to claim its territory as its own after the war, and Russia, of course, wants Poland for itself. And so, they were refusing to supply these guys, but the British ended up sneaking in a few minor airdrops in for the Warsaw Uprising, and the U.S. later did get air clearance by the Russians to do a major operation of supply drops into Warsaw. This, of course, was another major war crime event. The Germans ended up killing anywhere between 150,000 to 200,000 civilians, people not involved with the uprising. And on top of that, about 16,000 of these partisan fighters, the people directly involved with the uprising, died, making, if you basically max out each side, 216,000 deaths. Not casualties, deaths. An absolute massacre. This is another tier that I don't necessarily agree with. The Warsaw Uprising, I feel like, is not something you're gonna learn about just sort of blatantly in a history class. I feel like you have to do a little bit more research into the war to find out about the Warsaw Uprising, and that's why I would put it in like the lesser known battles. I always sort of consider the famous battles to be like, okay, you'll probably learn about this in history class, you'll probably hear about it in like Jeopardy or something like that, and just in day-to-day life. But then the lesser known battles, the next tier down, I always consider to be like, okay, you've done a little bit more than surface research, you've dove a little bit further in, and you found out more about specific events that happened in each sector of the war. And then the further down you go, of course, it's like, oh, you were probably like a history major or a massive nerd or a conspiracy theorist and stuff like that. So I don't really agree with the Italian Civil War and the Warsaw Uprising being in these tiers, but they are. Now, that is the end of the first tier of the iceberg, but it's not going to be the end of the video because I don't necessarily agree with some of the missing things from this. There's some blatant things that are missing, and it baffles me that they are missing. And this first one, I think you'll agree with me. D-Day, Operation Overlord, is not in the famous battles. Excuse me? Like, I don't know why this isn't here. This is insane. Also, just the Battle of Normandy as a whole could have encapsulated D-Day and been thrown in here. Everyone knows about the invasion of Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, Sword Beach, Juno Beach. All of the beaches, people know, but Omaha Beach in particular, especially because of its representation in Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan. But I don't know how you don't include D-Day in this. D-Day obviously being the Allied invasion of Normandy just prior to the invasion. They had made a fake dummy army. I've been planning on maybe making a video on this, but they blew up balloons that looked like tanks and had a bunch of soldiers around to look like they're actually invading a different part of Normandy, or a different part of France, I guess. I'm not entirely sure if it was still Normandy. But either way, they blew up this dummy army. Then the night before D-Day, they flew in a bunch of paratroopers and dropped them behind enemy lines to go ahead and create chaos, as well as destroy flak guns and artillery. And then the day of, they shuttled in the largest amphibious invasion in history. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers onto the beaches. We're talking Canadians, we're talking Americans, we're talking British, we're talking New Zealanders, we're talking Australians, all sorts of different nationalities, all fighting on these beaches, getting mowed down by German bunkers of the Atlantic Wall. I don't know how you don't include this on this tier list. It must be an oversight. I don't know. Other than that, I also think Operation Market Garden probably should have been involved too. There's a TF2, the Operation Market Gardener, named after Operation Market Garden. If that's not famous, I don't know what is. But it's basically a bunch of paratrooper drops. I believe just before Normandy, right? I'm getting my timelines mixed up. But a bunch of paratrooper drops, and famously, like, the Battle of the Arnhem Bridge was during Operation Market Garden, primarily performed by British paratroopers, and just sort of created chaos in the northern area of the German Reich. And there's been a lot of movies made out of it and stuff like that. I just don't see how this isn't on the iceberg. On top of that, the invasion of France. Where is that? Like, one of the largest events in the early war, as well as the capitulation of France and the forming of Vichy France, how is this not involved in the top tier? The blitzkrieg through France and the surrender of the French in the early stages of the war and the subsequent evacuation of the British Expeditionary Force during the evacuation of Dunkirk. I don't know how this didn't make it on here either. On top of that, I did mention the atomic bomb drops, and that does kind of fit into the whole island hopping campaign section in this tier list. But at the same time, I feel like an entire section or event rather in this should be for the two atomic bombs. That it's such a major event. And finally, I was going to add on here the Battle of the Bulge as well. The Battle of the Bulge or the Ardennes Forest, where the Germans did a massive counterattack following the invasion of Normandy, sort of the last major assault from the German army, resulting in mild progress and then that progress being swept away. I think this should be in there. I think everyone sort of knows about the Battle of the Bulge. It's a very, very famous battle. And, of course, the Holocaust. The Holocaust not being on here is a little weird to me. Extremely famous, of course. I don't know why this is not on here. But that's tier one right there. A few additions from me, as well as a few that I don't necessarily agree with, but I'd love to hear your guys' comments on, do you think there should have been more in here? Remember, there is the lesser known battles that's coming up in the next video that I do, unless I cut a story video in between the tier list videos, but either way, I think that this was really fun to do, really fun to research, and really fun to look at people's opinions on an iceberg of World War II, and we will be continuing down into some stuff that you might not know about. Let me know if you didn't know any of these, or you know, if you're learning about them just now, that's awesome. You know, that's kind of the point of the channel. But also, like, if you think anything should be included, because I think there is some stuff missing, and I might have even missed some stuff. Either way, guys, thanks so much for watching. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.